The sermon title today is, What Degree of Faith Do You Have? And I'm going to start out reading from Psalms chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, which is all of that psalm. But in Psalm chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, Blessed is the man, and I'll add the woman, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, or her delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall never wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In verse 2 it says, But his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. His or her delight is in the what? The Word of God. And their law, in his law, he and she meditates, or they meditate, day and night. So our delight is in the Word of God. In Psalms 119 and 105, it says, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, it says, Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, what? Will never pass away. Church today, are you believing in the Word? Are you standing on the Word? And are you proclaiming the Word of God out of your life? Yesterday, I heard a survey on a Christian radio station on youth leaders in America. And of those surveyed, this is what it said. Of the youth leaders in America that's in the churches across the United States, only a third of them believe that through Jesus was the only way to be saved. Only one third. Less than 50% believe in creation. Less than 50% believe that the scriptures were the inspired Word of God. These people are the ones that are teaching our youth in America. Listen to me. If you only believe part of the Word, you do not believe any of it. I want to say that again. If you only believe part of the Word, you do not believe any of it. The church has the written Word, the power of the Holy Spirit. Start throwing out the Word or parts of it, and the church has nothing. You are looking at a church that has gone into apostasy when all of a sudden it starts taking parts out of the Bible that they do not believe in. Every day we are bombarded that God's Word is unreliable. You think about creation. You think about marriage. You think about male and female. You think about the life of the unborn. I remember in the movie, The Officer and the Gentleman, they remember in that movie that the statement was made, All I want is the truth. And Jack Nicholson was the one that was sitting on the other side, and he says, You cannot handle the truth. This nation cannot stand the truth of God's Word. And the churches are starting to look like the nation. I made the statement earlier, if you only believe part of the Word, you don't believe any of it. A very strong statement, a very black and white statement. Some may say, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I quite agree with that. Then let me ask you, what are the different degrees of faith? What are the different degrees of belief and unbelief? And are those degrees of faith okay with God? If you say that I have 25% of belief in God's Word, is that okay with God? If I have 50% of belief in God's Word, is that okay with God? Or even if I believe 75% of what God says in His Word, is that okay with God? Satan's attack has always been and always will be on the Word of God. That God is not who He says He is, and that God will not do what He says He will do. If you turn with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John in chapter 1, in verse 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And who is the living Word of God? Jesus is the living Word of God. Satan's attack is always at the Word of God, the written Word, and the living Word. Your faith level at 90% is not enough. At 95%, it is not enough. If you want to see people saved, and you want to see people healed, and you want to see people delivered, then our church, our faith needs to be at 100%. That whatever that God's Word says, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to stand on it, and I am going to proclaim it. Why do we think that our church is growing when no other churches are growing around us? It's because you are standing on the Word and you're being anointed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that's the two things this church has got going for it. The power of the Holy Spirit and the written Word of God, and we're standing on it, and God is going to lead people to this church because He wants them to be saved. How many churches can you go to today to hear the Word? That where the altar call is made for people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when the church itself does not believe entirely if Jesus is the only way to salvation, that there are other avenues. The Bible says there are no other avenues. It's only through Christ that we may be saved. Amen. So where is God going to lead them to? He's going to lead them to a Bible-believing church that's standing on the Word of God. Because He knows that is a place where they can come and they can find Jesus and they can grow in their faith. Believing God in faith degrees got Adam and Eve kicked out of heaven. We talked about this in CE this morning. Dennis was talking about it. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, it is amazing in your life how many times in the church that you will go back to the original sin and what took place there, and always there's a different view or another view that you haven't thought about before. But when you go to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, and let's start reading at verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And then the serpent said to the woman, 'Well, you will surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit, ate, and she gave to her husband, who ate as well." Eve believed about 50% of what God told her. She believed, "Well, it's going to make me wise. It's going to make me wise. It's going to allow me to know the difference between good and evil if I partake of this fruit." But there was 50% of God that she did not believe. And that was that she was going to die if she partook of the fruit. So 50% of her belief got her kicked out of heaven. In the temptation in the wilderness, Satan wanted Jesus to question his faith in God as well, but he would not question his faith. He says, if you throw yourself down, he even used the Word of God. He twisted it, but he uses the Word of God against Jesus. Throw yourself down, he will give his angels charge over you. And what did Jesus come back and say? You shall not, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. So even then, he was trying to get Jesus not to believe entirely in what God says. That we can only, that only believe part of what God says, and part of it we don't have to believe. That is a lie from the adversary. He's always attacking the Word. Look, you can't get up and listen to the news. You can't get up and read the newspaper, if you still do that, and not see that the Word of God is being challenged on a daily basis in the world in which we live in today. It said in the very beginning, in the very first known prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus, there will be enmity between your seed and her seed, because you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. Talking about what would take place on the cross. That enmity is still there. We're not in a nation that loves Christians. You get that? We are not in a nation that loves Christians, because we're such a small minority anymore. We live in a world that's dominated by the god of this world, the adversary. And we see that on a daily basis in our life. We know that we are going to be challenged, but the Word challenges us to stay true to the Word, to stay true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't back away, but keep stepping forward. Now, if you turn with me to James chapter 1, In James chapter 1, if you look at verse 2, look at what it says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Now listen to the words. But let him ask in faith without what? Without doubting. So when we come to the Lord, Scripture says, and we're going to look at it in Hebrews chapter 11, you must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. When you go to prayer, you should be praying with the belief that God is going to move on the behalf of your prayer. Amen? If you don't, what are you going to prayer about? Are you taking their 50% belief or 50% unbelief? He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. How can we receive if we don't believe? Now turn back to Hebrews. You're only one book away from there. Go backwards. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. In verse 1 it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. All the time we hear of different degrees of belief in creation. And those different beliefs of creation have come into the church. You'd be shocked if you knew how many Christians actually believe more in evolution than they did the spoken word of God, that he spoke it into existence. But when you look at the scripture here in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Now listen to the word. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. God spoke it, and it was. I don't have to go any further than that, because of my faith that I have in the Lord, because he is the creator of all things. We also see, when we go down a little further in verse 6, but without him, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, are we pleasing to God at 25% faith? Are we pleasing to God at 50%? Or are we pleasing to God at 90%? That's not what the scripture says. But without faith, 100%, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All the time we hear of the different degrees of belief in creation, even among Christians, but God spoke it, it was done, end of story. Now look at verse 2. I want to have a good testimony with God. How can I have a good testimony with God? That I believe his written word. Verse 1 gets me that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said it, I believe it. Verse 6, without faith we cannot please God. Every day we are confronted with global warming. Every day. We're doing everything about global warming. We're going to have electric cars. We're going to have electric windmills. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. We have had congressmen and senators say our world will not survive another 10 years. We even have those that have already surpassed some of their already predictions that the world was going to come to an end. Let me say, of this land, man has not been a good steward. We know that. And yes, I would agree that we have seen weather patterns change and shift. But now listen to me. Man's time on this earth is not over until God says it's over. And I don't have to live in fear because I'm going to start my car up or I'm going to start my truck up because I'm doing something to the ozone layer. The world sets in the Lord's hand. I put all my faith, all my trust in my Lord and my God. Nothing's going to happen until God says it's going to happen. And I believe that and trust that. Why do I believe it? If you look at Hebrews, you're already in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory, talking about Jesus, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now turn with me to another scripture in Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. So Colossians, go back some more to a Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, and verse 17 says this, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Because in Christ all things consist, all things are held together by Christ. Satan is using global warming to distract people. And that's why we're talking about this faith issue today. He's using that to look over here so you're not looking over here. He is the ultimate deceiver. He is the one that uses a sleight of hand trick. He is a liar and he's a father of all lies, as it says in John 8, chapter 44. He is a father and father of all lies. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He lied to Adam and Eve and got them kicked out of the Garden of Eden. He tried to lie to Jesus and it didn't work because Jesus beat him up with the Word of God. We need to beat Satan up with the Word of God. We need to be standing on the Word of God. We need to be proclaiming the Word of God. We need to relish the Word of God in each and every one of our lives today. He's using global warming to distract people from the truth. Well, I don't have a lot of time left, but we're going to try to get to the truth in the next couple minutes. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Romans 8 and verse 21. Romans 8 and verse 21. Now listen to the words, Romans 8, verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What does that mean? It means that this earth is going to be delivered from sin forevermore. The bondage of corruption doesn't only affect mankind, it affects all of the earth. That's why we have briars. That's why we have thistles. That's why we have all these different things that we have in the world that are obnoxious and bother us because of sin. All of those things never existed. If I still was in the Garden of Eden, I wouldn't have to buy any weed chemical. I wouldn't have to spray any weeds because there wouldn't be any weeds because everything was perfect. So in this world that we live in today, it's under the corruption and the bondage of sin. So verse 21, because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now listen to the words in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The earth's groaning for redemption. I'd like to go further, but we'll start cutting this off. The earth is groaning. He tells us in Matthew chapter 24, in the last days, you will have earthquakes. You will see more of these things. Most of us have never heard of an atmospheric river in our whole entire life until 2 years ago. I never heard of a bomb cyclone until a couple of years ago. But we have all of these things that are taking place, and Satan is getting the world to believe it's all because of global warming, when the saints walking over here and say the coming of the Lord Jesus is getting close and we need to hang on to God because He's going to take us home. Hallelujah! You're going to see more things that are upset in the atmosphere and more weather-related incidents that you ever seen in your life as you see the coming of the Lord coming, because He is waking us up to the reality that His coming is very, very close. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, if we put that up on the board, we won't turn to it, but we see here that Paul was saying, I need to press toward the prize of the upward call. And saints, we need to be pressing in our faith as we never had before. We need to be believing as we never have before. When Peter was asked to join Jesus out on the water, what happened when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus? He started to sink. Lord, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Then we know that we're going to be walking in faith. No matter how much Satan wants to distract our thinking, I'm running out of breath. Keep your eyes on the prize. Let us walk 100% in faith in God's Word. What does it say? I'll turn to one last scripture. I don't have you late yet. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. I didn't have it in the list for Jonathan, but we'll turn there real quickly. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and every farmer in his whole entire life has been living to this principle. When you look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall what? Shall not cease. If you're a farmer, I can't believe the stress that you must go through as a farmer if you're putting in very many acres, of the cost of the input. The farmer, what, $400 a bag for a seed bag of seed corn? Can you believe that? A bag of seed corn. You know, it took us $1,000 to seed and put fertilizer on this little bit we got here to put for grass seed. $1,000, that was just the material. I can't imagine if I had 500 acres, what it would cost me, $100,000, whatever it would cost me to put that crop in. And I sure most certainly couldn't understand doing that if I was an unbeliever. But as a believer, I can stand on Genesis 8:22, and I know that there's going to be seed time and there's going to be a harvest time. Why? Is because Ed Wilson said so? No, it's because my Lord and my God said so. I put my trust in Him. I don't put my trust in meteorology. I put my trust in God. And because I can put my trust in God, I know that God is going to bless me. Yes, we may have a drought. We may have a drought in this area. I don't know. But we're going to pray that it's going to go away. We're going to pray that the farmers in this area are going to be blessed upon blessing, because we stand on the Word of God that there will be a seed time. There will be a harvest time. And there always will be until the end of the earth. It's not done until God says it's done. So these global warming people, they need to go to the Scripture, don't they? Because us Christians that are not walking in 10% faith, but we're walking in 100% faith, and we're going to stand on the truth of God's Word. Amen. Are you standing there today? You need to get there. You need to get there. There are so many things in this world that tries to distract us, that Satan used to distract us from the truth. What does it say in Corinthians? He blinds the eyes of the unbeliever so they cannot see the truth. Carol and I was talking this week, and I said, I cannot believe that our legislatures and our congressmen and all the world's making, what are they thinking? And I use the word deluge, like they're under a deluge. Well, a deluge is a flood, I think. But you know, when you hang around Pastor Leo, you're going to learn a lot of different words you never learned in your whole entire life. Well, it wasn't a deluge either, but they were deluged. I can't even say the word. Tell me the word, Carol.
It was a delusion.
Delusion. Thank you very much. And I thought, well, the scripture said it here, but it was in another place in the scripture. Aren't people just gone wackadoodle? Isn't that a better word? That's an easier word for Pastor Leo to say. What are people thinking? It's because they don't know what you know. They don't know the truth of the scripture. People are lost and they are dying because they don't know the truth. Saints, we're supposed to be telling them the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this time in your house. We thank you for your word, that, Father, we can base our whole life on your word, that it's there to support us, to encourage us. And Father, we are here to live with it, to live for it, and live for the gospel of Jesus Christ, so we all have a good testimony that we lived our life believing in you. I pray that, Father, as we leave this place, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. You would bless us. I pray over these faithful people that you would open the windows of heaven. You would pour out your blessings upon each and every one of them. And we today give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.